We're back. College football picks. Aaron's college football games of the week.
Is that the official name of the segment?
I think so. I kind of like it. It's just kind of like ridiculous. Games of the week, and it has like 18 games. I kind of like it.
Well, there was games to watch.
I know. It just doesn't have a good ring to it.
Or top games to watch.
Top games to watch, games to keep an eye on. Now it's what? Top games of the week.
You got to give it to a man who's still using the yellow legal pad. You know, anyone who's not a lawyer that's still rocking with the yellow legal pad to document his football picks. He's very serious about it.
I don't use yellow. I do use white. But yeah, you're right. He does use the yellow.
It was given to me as a gift from an old company. So
as a gift,
might as well use it up.
The bar is set low.
What a company. I get yellow legal pads as my holiday gift.
Yeah, fuck the pizza parties.
I got a bag, a backpack, a few other things. But yeah, there are a few legal pads. The mini one, large one, a couple pins in there.
Nice.
Well, you need the large one when you got 22 games to watch on a Saturday.
That was a great Saturday, though.
It was a great Saturday. Yeah, it was a big Saturday. How many games do you have this week?
I think it was 14. 14 games to keep an eye on this week.
I love it. I love it. I wrote down some games myself, but I only wrote down 6.
Okay.
A little more manageable, but I think you have them all on your thing. I'm not really sure. All right, Aaron, take it away, baby. Week 7, college football lines. Lines of code, not lines of anything else. Utah.
Not yet, at least. Friday night is still young.
It is young, yeah. But I'm getting tired.
You got a long night ahead of you, Rome, from what it sounds like over there. Let's just leave it at that so the audience didn't catch that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm just laughing inside. Utah, -5.5 against Arizona State, 46.5.
Utah, Jason's Big 12 team. Cam Risen is back. We're on the Utes money line. Utah Utes money line, 220 Friday night. That kicks off here in about 3-4 hours, I believe, pretty soon. Friday nights, we've been killing it against the books, man. We're like 4-0 on Friday nights. Let's keep it riding with Rising, Cam Rising, Utah to win this one.
I gotta tell you, maybe it's just it feels different this year with college football, but I feel there's been some great Friday night games this year than there hasn't been like before. Like every Friday night, there's been like an intriguing matchup. So, but yeah, Cam Rising back. This is where Utah starts that march to win the Big 12.
That's tonight.
It's tonight, man.
Tonight.
Yeah. 7:30.
7:30.
Nice. I dig it. Well, I'm going to have to edit this thing and push it out right away then. Great. Next game, Iowa State, -3, West Virginia, 53.5. You know what? We got to start doing this thing live on Thursday. It's going to be a live show Thursday or Friday.
I don't know why we don't do it live now, man. But, you got to get your shit tuned in over there, Rome. You've got a lot of stuff from other podcasts that be making its way on this one. So let's get that cleaned up on your end and then we can go live.
It's hard to do it live when Rome's got to switch devices mid-thing. The internet goes on and off. Might have to switch a microphone's not plugged in. Like, who knows?
It's been, unfortunately, a lot of technical difficulties that the person that knows more about this shit than anyone, and it's kind of embarrassing.
Back to Iowa State.
Yeah.
-3 against West Virginia. Big game. Iowa State undefeated in the conference. Big 12 trying to keep that rolling. I like Iowa State. On the road at West Virginia, lay the 3 points.
You know what? I feel like we need like some rock music in the background. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then Aaron's just like dishing on the games. California, +3.5. Pittsburgh, 58.
Pittsburgh undefeated, coming in at home. Cal traveling after a tough loss against Miami. I'm interested to see how Cal bounces back after a 25-point lead against Miami. Pittsburgh has been playing well. Line seems a little weird. I think Pittsburgh gets it done at home. Stays undefeated.
Is that a little high? It's a little high, right? The line?
At 3.5?
Oh, no. The over. My bad.
58. Pittsburgh's been scoring a lot of points. Cal was 38, 39 last week, so score some points. That's what, 77? So
Rome's just used to watching Steeler games at Acrisure Stadium. They don't score that many points at Acrisure Stadium when the Steelers play. So
have the Steelers even scored 58 points combined this year? That's a real question mark right now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure it's pretty close.
They average about 20 a game, barely, you know. We're five games in.
Average 20 a game. The first three games, they're at like 13 or 18 points
or
something like
that. Yeah, they won 13-7 against the Broncos. Was it 18-12 against the Falcons? They lost 20-17 last week to the Cowboys.
You guys set me up here? You guys already had this lined up? You guys had a screen picked up?
No, we're just riffing.
You set me up? Damn. Fucking set me up.
Well, we've had about an hour to talk about setting you up for the rest of the podcast.
God,
so,
Jesus Christ. You know. Blow me up, Tom. Your next game. I actually have this on my list. Vanderbilt at Kentucky.
Shocked to see Vanderbilt getting 13 points at Kentucky.
That's a lot.
Give me Vanderbilt plus 13. I don't care how drunk, how high, how everything's coming into this game. Vandy will cover at Kentucky.
Ooh. Florida plus 14 at Tennessee.
Bounce back game for Tennessee. They get that ship rolling. Tennessee is going to blow out the Gators.
Wisconsin plus 4.5 at Rutgers.
1.5. That's 1.5. Rutgers coming off their first loss against Nebraska.
Jesus.
That's a clear one, Rome. Come on.
It's on my phone. And to be fair, if you've seen some of his fours before, like I just assumed like it looked like his fours sometimes look like higher.
That looked like a pretty, like Jason said, a pretty definitive one, unless you're the replay guy from the last night's Seattle 49ers game. You might consider that a four, but
what happened
have,
to that?
He didn't have the enhanced
return.
Replay. Obviously, Roman doesn't have that enhanced imaging on that phone of his.
Yeah, I definitely don't.
Rutgers bounces back, gets the job done at home against Wisconsin, Rome's favorite team, not in California.
Kansas State minus 3.5 against Colorado. This is also my list. Good, nice.
So, who do you got in this game, Roman? It's on your list, a major list. Who do you got?
You know, I like Kansas State.
I agree. I'll take Kansas State too.
On Twitter, people are picking. I went on a big old Twitter rant, or no, it must have been Instagram. A lot of people saying like, "How come Colorado's not on people's projected, you know, college football playoffs?" I'm like, "Are you fucking smoking crack?"
They win this game, they're going to be on there.
I'm actually kind of surprised them being 4-1, 2-0 in the Big 12 that they're not ranked.
Really?
I'm just saying, like, overall hype you get for Colorado, like, a lot of people thought they were going to lose a ton of games already. I mean, because they only won four games last year, right?
Yeah, yes. They won in, like, three in the first four games.
They're kind of like Rome's Kansas City Chiefs, where they should lose, like, the Baylor game, and they win. So,
interesting.
Just saying.
Arizona plus 3 at BYU. Ooh.
I don't get why BYU is only a 3-point favorite bye week, 5-0 in the Big 12 against Arizona. You just don't know what you're going to get from them. We called the upset against Utah 2 weeks ago. They laid an egg at home against Texas Tech last week. BYU minus 3, bet it big.
Ooh. Texas minus 14.5 at Oklahoma. Oklahoma.
Their little Red River shootout. Rivalry game, SEC matchup now. Texas has the bye week. Oklahoma, can they score points? I don't think they can. Texas, big in this game as well.
Remember how you said you didn't like Texas and that they were going to lose a lot of games. How are you feeling now?
I like what I see from Texas.
Nice.
But we'll see what they look like against Georgia next week.
Oh, man, that's going to be a fine game. Mississippi, MISSISSIPPI. Minus 3.5 at LSU.
Every week in the SEC, I've been giving you a team that is going to win at home as a dog. LSU, they'll beat Mississippi. I'll take the 3.5. I'll take the money line. Tigers beat Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin loses the second game, possibly eliminating Mississippi from the playoffs.
That first loss was costly, man. They have a tough schedule at the end of the season, so. Ooh. Minnesota, minus 4 against UCLA, who, granted, showed up for a good quarter and a half last week. They looked pretty solid, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, UCLA's been showing up. They've been looking better, looking more competitive. Minnesota upsets USC, now travels to the West Coast to take on the rival UCLA. Surprised to see the number at 4. Seems like a trap. we'll see what happens. I tend to think UCLA is going to upset them. This is an upset, I think, to keep an eye on, UCLA to win. I don't say that often on the show. Might be the last time.
I'm glad you said it, because this is my upset special for college football this week.
I knew I'd be on one of Rome's. I told you I'd find Rome's upset special. I knew I'd find it.
I'm digging it, baby. Let's go,
Bruins, I got my powder blue on.
This has got to be one of the most unwatchable games of this entire slate right here. But, of course, this is your upset special. All right.
Hey, Rome, I always take care of you, man. I always put your game to watch on my board, brother. It might
very well be unwatchable, Jason. I don't know. But they looked really decent for a quarter and a half. Maybe they can make it two or three for the upset.
Listen, the Big Ten's looking for their money back at this point because, you know, they did the buy one, get one free. They bought USC and got UCLA for free into the Big Ten. But they're looking to return them at this point if they're not going to put up a bigger fight.
Speaking I think that's good, man. The Pac-12 would love to have UCLA back, man. The Pac-12 would love to have UCLA back.
I think UCLA would love to be the Pac-12 because now they can just dominate all the state schools now. Which reminds me, I'm going to skip one of your games to go to USC since it's the buy one, get one special. USC, it's a must win for everybody. Penn State, number 4 with 3.5. Who you got, Aaron?
I like USC at home. Wow. I just don't trust Penn State. Franklin, those guys, they haven't proven to me they can win a big game. They got a good defense. Their offenses look shitty. They struggled against UCLA. USC at home, bounce back, gets the job done. Bruins in an upset.
We'll go back up to your other game. Washington +3 against Iowa.
Yeah, Washington beat Michigan, Rome's team, last week. Now travels to Iowa, who got stumped by the Ohio State Buckeyes. 3 points for Washington. I'll take 3 points. I'll take Washington getting 3 points at Iowa. Should be a low-scoring game. The over-under is 42.5.
And your last game of the week here, a couple of ranked teams, man. Number 2, Ohio State, -3 against number 3, Oregon. I think College Game Day is going to be there, right?
You guys are the one that follow College Game Days. I don't know where they can be. Yeah, I saw Pat McAfee. He was there. I saw the duck riding around on the motorcycle, so I did see that.
Yeah, they're up in Eugene.
Yeah, Eugene is one spot I do want to go watch a game. That's for sure. It's on the bucket list. But give me the Buckeyes. That's my national champion for the year. They're going to be too powerful, too overwhelming for Oregon. They'll win this one.
Wow. Okay. Top 5 games to watch, Aaron, out of all these 14 games that we can feature.
Ohio State, Oregon, put that on the list. Penn State, USC, put it on the list. Mississippi, LSU. Kansas State, Colorado. And let's go Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Let's see how good Vanderbilt is. Vanderbilt's playing for a shot to get in the playoff. Let's just be real about it right now. If they can win out, they're legit in that conversation. So
we'll see if they can buck the trend of not losing after a big win. Yeah, we'll see what's all about. I fucking dig it. Jason, any takes? How's your Notre Dame doing?
Notre Dame, they're at home versus Stanford. Should be a W. I mean, I don't know how Aaron didn't have this in the must games to watch. That's the game I'll be watching.
Stanford just doesn't make the list. Sorry. Notre Dame, yeah, but both teams got to make the list.
Oh, man.
This guy's got UCLA on a game to watch list, but not Notre Dame. Okay.
I'm just kind of kissing ass to the host, Jason. FYI.
That's fine.
I got to do it sometimes. I got to do it sometimes.
I don't need no ass kissing. You guys are crazy.
He's had a rough week.
It's fine. I get 15 minutes of Bears talk in every week, so I don't need to get 15 minutes of Notre Dame too.
I think 15 minutes is on the under. I think we're going over actually
on Bears talk. Well, next week we got the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin, so we get some Formula One talk next week.
Yeah, you know this Italian guy I'm trying to get on the podcast. This guy's pretty flaky, but if you ever travel through Italy and try grabbing lunch in the middle of the day, everyone's taking a fucking nap. If it's the bill.
No, we don't need it. Us three talking Formula One. I'll give you guys the preview. Rome can ask me some bad questions, probably asking me about the length of the cars again. You know, we'll get a good preview next week ahead of the U.S. Grand Prix.
Actually, I did some research on that now. I'm locking in, baby. And then, man, I've been watching, this is the most hockey I watched in like a year or two for opening week. We could talk about that in the next segment along with a little NBA playoffs. We'll be back shortly after the break. So time for a little baseball talk. We're almost at the end or into the conference championships. Yankees punched their ticket.
League championships.
Yeah, of course. What? I can't say conference?
No, but you also said we were doing a preview of the NBA finals prior to the commercial break here. So I don't know if you know what sport we're talking about, Rome.
No, I was talking about baseball right now, man.
All right. Well,
yeah.
That's the American League and the National League. So it's the league championship series we're playing into at this point.
Well, that's why I said conference championships. Conference championships.
They're not conferences, though.
They're just leagues. I know.
All right.
One sport's a conference, the other's a league.
Whatever, man.
The NBA, they play four quarters. Hockey, they play three periods. Just FYI, too.
Yeah, I got that. No one watches hockey, though.
You just said you were watching hockey this week.
I was watching the Vegas Knights, man.
You watched them in the Utah Hockey Club?
I did, yeah. That's pretty fun, actually. Anyways, baseball. Mets fucking upset the Phillies. Who would have saw that one coming? Yankees got a slight scare in game one, but come out on top, punched their ticket yesterday. And then we got two game fives. I went to a game five, guys, a couple years ago. With my friend Perla. Aaron calls her Double D's. We can go into that some other time. But that was like one of the funnest games I've ever been to. But Dodgers in another game five. But this time, they're not injury depleted. But they're facing a red-hot Padres. Man, remember all that shit you guys were talking in the last podcast? Saying that they weren't going to come home. And now they're going back to L.A. I wasn't even nervous, man. I was watching that game four. It was a bullpen game. Roberts, one of the best executed managed games I've seen in my life from him. And Aaron, you know, this guy has blown so many games with the Dodgers. I was really impressed. It was a fucking game. And they didn't even give the Padres anything to celebrate for. You know, no little home run shots, no runs. It was lights out. Now we have game five tonight.
Yeah, Rome, you're talking about Dave Roberts with the managerial game of his life. I mean, he didn't have to do anything. He just threw a pitcher out there. He got three outs and kept rotating him out. I could have walked out and kept changing these guys out as easy as that game was.
He had a
5-0 lead two innings in.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, that was as easy as game to manage as you can.
I mean, the Padres, they wanted this series. They want to be the villains. If this was a wrestling conversation, they want to be the heels. They want to go into Dodger Stadium. You know, Tatis and Profar, they're going to be in the outfield. Just being that heel in the middle of the ring, man, getting it up. This is going to be a real big game. This is where they wanted it. They want to end it here. They want to send Rome and all the Dodger fans, you know, home all depressed and just blowing another time that the Dodgers and their billion-dollar payroll home. You know, this is what the Padres wanted right here. So they got them where they wanted. So, I mean, at least for the Dodgers, they're not being acted like they're a Cinderella story like the Mets, who got, like, you know, a $350 million payroll too, and we're acting like this is some big Cinderella story out of New York. But I'm excited for the Padres-Dodgers game tonight. Disappointed in my man Dylan Cease, former White Sox pitcher. That was who I was hyping, really, that was going to be shutting the door on the Dodgers this series, but he's actually been the biggest liability for the Padres this entire series. I think all three starts of him that he's had in the postseason have been disasters. So, but I'm looking forward to this game. You know, I look to see what Rome, he's either going to shove it in our face on the next pod, or he's not going to want to talk.
I don't club. Yeah,
or he's not going to want to talk about baseball. This will be the last baseball we talk for the rest of the season.
I'm not like Aaron, dude. I don't gloat, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you just opened the segment saying you're like, how, throwing it in my face saying it wasn't going to come back to Dodger Stadium.
You guys are talking a lot of shit.
But I love the angle Jason just went with the Padres playing the hill. I love that, man. I love that. All that debris we saw in the outfield in game two, I think we're going to see double in game five.
You guys got Padres?
I mean, I'm taking the Padres just because I want to anger you. That's the only reason I want to do it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I already gave you a kiss-ass segment, pinning UCLA in my games to watch. Yeah, I want to see you disappointed. I want to see you crying. I want to see you depressed. I want to see Dodger fans humiliated again. Padres, I'm rooting for them to win.
You know, I have nothing to be sad about because at least our team is in the playoffs and both your guys' teams are out. And we're not winning a championship when every other team is depleted like your Braves did a couple years ago, Aaron. So I'm feeling pretty good.
I think the history against the Dodgers, Aaron, I think this is still true. Since the expansion of the playoffs, no National League team that has had the first round bye has advanced to the league championship series. So, and that held true in the Mets-Philly series. The Dodgers are going to have to break really what's been, you know, a problem. I don't, you know, baseball players, creatures of habit, but, you know, the teams that are the first round buys that aren't playing in that, you know, wild card round or play-in round or whatever we call it now, like that has really hurt a lot of these teams, you know, getting that mojo back, almost having a week off in between series. So, that's the history, I think, or very recent history against the Dodgers here in this last game.
Yeah, me and Rome talked about it yesterday. You know, creatures of habit, like you said, 6 days off between games. Padres with two intense playoff games, play-in games, wild card, whatever you want to call it, against the Braves. Kind of riding the momentum in. Dodgers took game one but fell behind early. Padres dominated games two and three, and then game four, Dodgers bullpen lit it up. Game five is interesting. You know, Yu Darvish comes back.
Money.
Close out game. We know what happened in the World Series not too long ago, Game 7 losing against the Astros. For me, Darvish has nothing to lose. Once you lose a Game 7 World Series, that's the biggest game. I think he's going to pitch loose, free. We'll see how the Dodgers, Yokomoto, pitches. He's not looked good lately.
No, I think he only went out three innings last time, right? Allowed five runs in Game 1. Hopefully it's a lot better this time, but I'm excited. That's like in an hour, man. So this podcast will definitely be after the game. So everyone will be hearing our pregame predictions. And then game five, Tigers against the Guardians tomorrow. Man, that game last night was pretty intense, man. I thought the Tigers were going to take that away. And then who's their closer? Just like sealed it, man. It was a nice tight game. It was fun.
Class A, man, for
Class
the
A,
Guardians. He was basically had a historic regular season. This is what he really was. The advantage of the Guardians going into this postseason was how good their entire bullpen was, and really wrapping it up with Class A. So, Guardians should have been the team really going to face the Yankees in the ALCS. The Tigers were the kind of the Cinderella story. I think going into this, I think the Guardians walk away, and you go, you know, chalk into the ALCS with the Guardians and the Yankees.
I took Detroit to win the series. Gets to a game five. They got the best pitcher on the mound. Lines up for him. I'll stick with Detroit. Cinderella story. Keep it going. Detroit, Yankees, ALCS.
What do you guys think about the Yankees series against the Royals?
I talked about what the Royals and the Tigers are a little more Cinderella story going in this, but I think overall, the Royals throughout the year, you know, play a lot of game against my White Sox, you know. but if the big bats were going for the Yankees, we knew this is where they should have been at. They were kind of that team that was just a half step of the entire American League the entire year. I think at least it was they've gotten what they gotten so far from the Yankees up from the bats. And then Carlos Rodon pitched a pretty good game yesterday.
By the way, what do you guys think about the announcing going on with the Yankees game, man? That shit was, I don't know, it was kind of brutal for me.
Oh, Bob Costas?
It was just dead. Like, and I like Bob Costas, but I was trying to remember, like, when was the last time I actually
watched
the game?
I like Bob Costas back when he did NBA, man. Back in, like, NBC, back in, like, the 90s and stuff.
I don't know what's different, but it was so dry. It was just nothing going on, and X is going crazy on him. Like, when's this guy going to shut the fuck up?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I was not. I had that game on with no sound on, so I did not hear Bob Costas. But
oh,
I think this is more of a generational thing, man. I mean, Bob Costas, a particular type of, you know, 90s voice. I think we grew up on that. Probably a generation younger than us are not overly enthused. The thing about baseball, too, you know, baseball such a regional sport, even more regional over the last 10 to 15 years when you go into it, too. So everyone's obsessed with their local announcer. So when you get to these national games and these guys are calling, like, no one's ever happy. Like, I'm probably one of the few people that, like, I didn't care that Joe Buck used to be calling all the World Series game. Like, I think Joe Buck's a great, you know, play-by-play announcer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'd be in it every World Series on Fox when Joe Buck was calling the game that, oh, he's against our team and blah, 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 blah. Like, these are not easy jobs for play-by-play, and Joe Buck was like one of the best that, you know, in the game, you know, that can do it. And everyone just is always unhappy with baseball because they got some homer announcer that calls 162 games that everyone's used to. Like, as a White Sox fan, yeah, I had Hawk Harrelson. You know, you think he's gonna be calling a national game with the same enthusiasm, putting it on the board, that he would be? No, like, you're not just gonna get that. So I think there's a little more bias to that, where, like, the NFL, yeah, no one cares about the NFL announcers. No one's listening to the local radio broadcast for Rome Steelers and understanding when there's, like, oh no, Al Michaels is tonight, so we're gonna complain about that.
Interesting take. With the airplanes flying over. Yeah.
We got airplanes. We got dogs barking. It's all barking. Going down on the Friday,
yeah,
man.
Speaking of New York's other team, the Mets, man, upsetting the Phillies 3-1 handily. Phillies look shocked. I'm shocked. But, man, two clutch home runs. Like, what was it?
Lindor, man. Lindor's had a great.
Lindor, and then postseason. What, a three-run shot by, I'm just drawing a blank right now.
Alonso,
man, hit of his life. I do think they're kind of like a Cinderella story, though, because they do have like a jacked up payroll. They signed a whole bunch of guys, fucking did a dumpster fire, retooled. Now they're back in it. Went on a nice run the last few months. They kind of do have that Cinderella vibe, though.
Well, like Jason said, I mean, their payroll is nothing to be Cinderella about.
No. Yeah, for sure.
The fact that they were, like, basically dismissed, I think early June, 10 games back of the, you know, basically getting into the playoffs. They got hot at the right time. We've talked about it. Jason said teams that, you know, that get that first round bye in the playoffs have struggled. We've seen teams that get hot towards the end, ride that wave, momentum, keep going. Brewers had the Mets dead. Alonso hits a 3-run home run. They come back and win. Lindor, Mets, they look like they were going to lose game one. They get it going there. They close out. Philly ride that momentum. The Phillies' bats just disappeared. Their pitching, which looked so great, couldn't get them through. Their bullpen, which was good. Philly seemed like the best team. Me and Jason talked about it coming in from the National League. But as I said, you know, they struggled that month of September. They didn't have the momentum that we've seen a lot of teams get. And it cost them. You know, this was the best roster Philly had. They didn't put it together. They'd always been kind of playing behind, chasing the Atlanta Braves the last 3 years and eliminating them every year in the playoffs. This year, they got a taste of their own medicine. So I'm glad the Mets won. See Philly out of there. Unfortunately, if the Dodgers do advance, I don't think the Mets have what it takes to beat them. And if the Padres do, I think we're looking at the Padres back on the World Series, possibly against the Yankees.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, like, I've been wrong a majority of the baseball playoffs so far with how many different upsets there have been and what you thought was the class of the, you know, the elite throughout the regular season. So one thing, interesting, I don't want to go too much into the offseason right now. Both New York teams have some intriguing free agents, you know, that are going to be coming up to this offseason that do these playoff pushes incline these owners to be dealing out contracts. Because I believe Alonso's a free agent for the Mets. And then the Yankees have Soto that they still haven't signed. And I think Gleyber Torres as well, too. So two teams that have massive payrolls already, but you have some pretty high profile, you know, guys potentially leaving these teams right now. So, you know, is it towards the end of a particular window? Because there's going to be some big power hitters that potentially leaving, you know, the biggest market in the country's, you know, two key franchises.
So you have game one for the ALCS on Monday, game one for the NL, that's on Sunday. Should we do like any early predictions, or should we just wait till Monday to do that for the...
Just wait, man. We got game five. I think, Rome, you're taking the Dodgers, right, tonight?
Of course I have to, dude. What the fuck? What do you think? Smoking crack? Of course I'm taking the Dodgers. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes, man. Real quick, though, one, I did catch game one of the WNBA finals, and I thought the Liberty were just blowing out Minnesota. Didn't even catch the second half. And then I find out that we go into overtime.
I heard it was a choke job by the Liberty.
It was a choke job, dude. Missed layups at the end. Stewart just getting stuffed multiple times, missing free throws. They had multiple chances to win the game. And I don't know. I like them to win the finals. I guess they're going to go to a game seven starting next year. But I'd like them to be the favorite. But seeing the way Minnesota just kind of took their heart away, I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota grabs it. I don't know if you guys have any comments on any WNBA action.
I think overall for the Liberty, like getting to the finals past the Aces, because the Aces were kind of like, I don't know, it was their hump that the Liberty needed to get past to be able to secure the title. And the Aces, looked shaky throughout the season and weren't probably the same team that they had been. It was all on Asia Wilson pretty much the entire year that it seemed like. But now I think is their shot really to go through. So, yeah, I mean, if Aaron's saying the choke job here in game one, still some time. I still think they got probably more talent on that New York team, but it'll be an interesting thing. But short series, like you said, only five games this year, but it'll be more exciting WNBA next year. I think they're more regular season games too. It's going to, 44 regular season games now, and then now a best of seven playoff series. So I continue to expand that league, but I still think the Liberty can pull this one out.
Yeah, I'll make this quick.
Aren't they expanding one or two teams next year, Rome? How many teams are expanding?
Golden State starts next year, and then I believe a Toronto team starts the year after that, right?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're expanding that. The finals goes to seven games. Liberty, getting past the Aces, something they haven't been able to do. The Aces were kind of the queens of the WNBA.
They knocked them off. They look tired.
I agree. I think the Liberty are going to bounce back, get it done. There's just one game, but you fall down 2-0, 2-1, backs against the wall. We'll see what happens, but Stewart will get it together. Liberty would be my pick to win the WNBA Finals.
Yeah, one thing, I really like Sabrina Ionescu with the Liberty. She has some really cool shoes, man, with Nike. You see some NBA players rocking them now, which is kind of weird. Who would have thought NBA players would be rocking WNBA players, shoes during games, but she has some really cool kicks. She wasn't really active in the fourth quarter. So, if she steps it up in the next game, which she might be one of the bigger dogs in WNBA, then, yeah, Liberty bounce back. Hockey. I watched four games this week, which is, I don't know if I watched four games all last year until the playoffs. Whose dog is that?
My dog. He heard you talking hockey.
He loves hockey.
Big hockey guy. He's like, Rome's getting hockey takes. I don't want to hear that. So
yeah, I don't blame him not wanting to hear Rome's hockey takes.
I wouldn't blame either.
Yeah, it was a good, good kickoff week. The defending Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers, raised the banner out there in Florida. Had a huge win against the Bruins in that first game. You had the Utah Hockey Club, formerly Phoenix Coyotes, relocating to Utah. I saw it was a record for the most beer ever sold at the Delta Center in Utah. So, I think that community is going to get behind that Utah hockey team. I think that's a great market for hockey. I know the owner was on the pregame show on ESPN talking to Steve Levy and kind of what his plans are, that not just for the team, but also just like getting hockey across like the state of Utah and start having more communities into that. Salt Lake City's in the mix for another Winter Olympics here coming up too. So I think there's a lot going into that where this city's going to kind of support it. But they beat my Blackhawks in the first game. Not a real surprise. The Blackhawks are going to be awful. Like the rest of most of my Chicago teams as they're kind of still rebuilding, but, exciting start to the season. We'll see, kind of more of this stuff plays out. We got some big games coming up this weekend as well, too. So,
yeah, good start to the season. Glad to see hockey here in Utah. The Utah hockey.
my, I mean, my dog said he don't want to hear none of y'all's hockey takes. That's what he said. None of y'all's hockey takes.
It's probably a smart move actually right now till we gear up.
Hey, playoff hockey, I was hitting 75% last year in the bet. So come May, come June, tell him to listen. I'll give him some treats on that one for sure.
All right, yeah, he'll be on that one. Nothing better than playoff hockey though. So we'll that'll be some good times there.
You know, you said that the other day, and I was kind of thinking about it, like, you know, playoff hockey is exciting, but for me, it would be NBA playoffs.
No way.
That's number one
NBA
for me.
NBA playoffs suck.
NBA playoffs are trash.
Second will be baseball playoffs. Premier League.
Well, I like Champions League. Soccer, we're going to go there.
Yeah. I watch all the golf. Well, that's different, I guess. Never mind.
Yeah, for hockey, it's the drama of just tight goal-scoring games. There's just the tension. There's the anticipation for that goal. Just the level of intensity that is in those games is ratcheted up. NBA, I mean, to me, majority of the games are blowouts. It's one way or the other. You know, there's not very many competitive games. You go through the playoffs. First round hockey is like those guys. I mean, those are best of seven tight games. Yeah, it's. I think hockey is by far and away the best. Basketball, I would not put anywhere close to that. I think you can convince me with some soccer stuff, but it's a similar thing. It's an anticipation of that goal. It's tight. You know, it's tight defense that's going into it that really creates that drama.
Blowouts have only really been like the norm the last two, three seasons. Maybe it's just kind
of
weird.
There's a ton of blowouts in the NBA. I mean, the NBA really doesn't get good till the conference finals. The conference finals have actually been better than the NBA finals for the most part. The NBA, you can't really say the same for the NHL. I agree. The NHL would be one for sure. Top
number
playoffs.
One. Interesting.
We'll circle back around in April and May, and you know, all right. when the Celtics are blowing out like, you know, the Atlanta Hawks in the first round, but then you got a tight Maple Leafs and. Hurricane series that goes seven and triple overtime, you know, then we'll be talking, you know.
All right. Yeah, we'll do tabs on that. Cool. Anything else, guys? Any life advice? Any like little personal stories you guys want to share with the guys?
No, I think our dogs have done enough talking for us both.
I know.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is that? What kind of dog is you got?
Who are you talking to? Aaron's dog's barking right now.
Oh, is it? It's Aaron's dog?
That's Aaron's dog barking right now.
That little
now.
Yippy bark?
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah, so. I already know that guy. What kind of dog do you got, Jason?
The dog barking is a terrier. So
a terrier?
Yeah, a terrier. But he, you know, he's got vocal ranges. He's got it down deep, but then he can talk up high too. So he's a chameleon with his voice.
That's really funny. Every time Westbrook barks, people are like, that's the bark out of that little dog. It's like a deep, big bark, man. People just fucking laugh in his face. It's really sad. Feel bad for him.
Yeah. Well, we discovered in the afternoon recording of the podcast that all the dogs go wild, so they do not like us or recording in the middle of the day prior to the first pitch of a Dodgers-Padres game, and then we got the Friday night college football here getting off in a few minutes. So,
shit. All right. Yeah, let's wrap this up, guys. We'll be on the pod back on Monday, right?
Monday.
Post Monday Night Football. We'll recap winners and losers from our bets of the week. And then, you know, another big week of Aaron's games for college. Some big weekend in college football overall. So
I'm excited.
Never a dull moment in college football. Never a dull moment.
We'll catch up on Monday. Have a fun weekend. Peace.